Mark's Gospel, please, chapter 13. Mark's Gospel 13. Now I want to echo what our brother has said. This will be our last opportunity of being together. As we look back over the 5 days we've been here, we want to thank the assembly and the friends that have come from far and near. And it has been a pleasure to be with you and to share with my beloved brethren who have been at this a long time before I was. So here we are. And we won't forget the food at this conference. I'll tell you that right now. And we won't forget the spiritual food either. And the hospitality of the Lord's people. We certainly appreciate it. And so we will pray for you. And please, you pray for us. Out of sight sometimes is out of mind. But we're thankful to be with you and share tonight. Now I want to read some verses, please, in this chapter. And I want to have a little word on the Lord's coming tonight. And maybe just approach it slightly different than we normally hear. So you're a young believer here this evening. Notice the principal buts in the chapter. There are several of them, but I take it there are four that are outstanding. Verse number 9, but take heed to yourselves. Verse number 14, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Verse number 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and so on. And then from verse 32, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. Those are four outstanding buts in the chapter. And also, let me point out to you the take heed. You see, it's four times again. Verse number 5, for example, take heed lest any deceive you. Verse 9, take ye heed, as the margin says, to yourselves. And then in verse number 23, but take ye heed. And then in verse 33, take ye heed. Right. Let's just start at verse 1, please. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew, and that's the only time in all of the New Testament that those four names are mentioned in this way alone. Four names mentioned alone for one time only. They asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now in answer to that, the Lord speaks. Verse 5, Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any deceive you. And then he goes down a number of different items. Notice verse number 9. But take ye heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Verse 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither what ye shall premeditate, But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. Notice now the way it changes in verse 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them be in Judea flee to the mountains, and so on. Now, let's go to the next little section, please. Verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. I take this now to be global. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he talks in verse 28 about the parable of the fig tree, and then at verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And I'll just make a comment that statement there, neither the Son but the Father, doesn't appear in any other gospel. It appears here in the gospel of the servitude of Christ. Now I want you to think of verse 33, please, to the end. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You get that word here in this last little section. Verse 33, watch. Verse 34, watch. Verse 35, watch. Verse 36, watch. And the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. I'll just introduce the subject this way and say that whenever we're in Mark's Gospel, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect servant. We often point out that this gospel was written by Mark, and likely primarily to the Romans, that they might understand something of the pathway of the Lord Jesus. We often point out that Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 is the key verse. And so, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I take those three statements divide the Gospel of Mark. Let me give it to you again. See that first statement there in verse 45? For even the Son of Man came not. That's his sojourn in this vale of tears, to be ministered unto, but to minister. He didn't come that others would serve him, but he came to serve others. That's his service. That's chapters 2 through 10 of the gospel. And then, but to give his life a ransom for many, that's his sacrifice. And that's chapter 11. To the end of the gospel. Three simple thoughts: his sojourn, his service, and his sacrifice. You're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would have to say to you, dear people, we're delighted to see you here this evening. And if you have never been born again, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and your sins have never been forgiven, and you have never had peace in your heart as you move through life, we have come to present to you tonight our Lord Jesus Christ in His first advent as He came into the world. And He came here to do one thing: to give us life, a ransom for many. And so we direct you tonight, before we start on His second advent, to His sacrifice at Calvary. If you have never been here before, or you don't know the gospel, one more time, we're delighted to see you. And it gives us great pleasure tonight to tell you the simple story of the gospel. The first person that ever told me about the Lord Jesus Christ was my mother. She's in heaven tonight, years ago. She was a godly woman. I was 3 years of age. I can remember kneeling at her bedside as a young fellow with my older brother. And she told us the story of the cross, where Jesus bled and died, where our debt was paid by His precious blood that flowed from His wounded side. And if you're here tonight and you want to know how you can be in heaven when life on earth is past, you've maybe heard the gospel many times, maybe you've never heard it. By a simple act of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross and finished the work, was buried and rose again the third day, and lives tonight in the power of an indissoluble life, is the one that we present to you. People ask, well, if I got saved, would it last? Well, I will give you my personal testimony that 51 years have come and gone since I, as a young fellow in the old country, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And mind you, 51 years is a fair test. And if you get to Christ tonight, it will last for time and for eternity. Now, I am aware this is not a gospel meeting, but I want to introduce it that way. And I've come to tell you tonight that He's coming back again. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And this chapter here deals with His coming to earth. And if we can get some of the trend of the argument in the passage and recognize that very soon He will come to earth, He's coming first of all to the air to call His waiting people home. And if His advent to earth is near, the one to the heavens, as we know it, the atmospheric heavens, is nearer still. Now keep your Bible open, and I'll try and be as simple as possible and as short as possible. Did ever you notice here that there are fours in this chapter? I'll just point some of them out to you by way of introducing the subject. See in verse number 3, these four men, they knew each other, I take it, from childhood. Peter and James and John and Andrew. The only time in all the Bible that those four names are mentioned together, and I might add, in that order. I pointed out to you the four major buts in the chapter. Verses 9, 14, 24, and 32. I have pointed out to you the four mentions of the word watch. From verse 35, verse 33 to 37. And did you notice that in verse number 35, there are four watches in the night? The evening watch, the midnight watch, the cock crowing, and the morning watch. The whole chapter is absolutely saturated with force. And we'll leave the rest. I want to suggest to you that here's the setting. We're just hours away from Calvary. We're in the Passion Week. And very, very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is going to the cross to die for sinners. And on this occasion, he's on Mount Olivet, and these four men are with him. They're looking westward across the Kidron Valley, and they see the ornate buildings on the Mount Moriah area. And every Jew at this particular time in the history of the nation was absolutely enthralled with those ornate buildings. And whoever it was said to the Lord, take a look at that temple and all the surrounding area. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Lovely buildings. The Lord said, now listen, men. Do you see those ornate buildings? The time is coming when not one stone will be left upon another. And the Luke 19 passage and Matthew 24 and all the rest of it expand on it further. And the near view, that was in AD 70 when Titus the Roman governor came, the place was leveled. But then, as has been pointed out already in the conference, there's a far view. There's the prophetic view. And so the men are interested. The Lord has got their ear. And he's saying to them, did you listen to what I said? And then they'd ask him, Lord, when will these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the consummation of the age? Putting Matthew 24 together with this one. Now I'm going to suggest to you, and then we get on with the subject. Those major buts in the chapter divide the chapter into certain sections. Now I'm aware that other ways can be divided, but recently I was interested in this. I take it that verses 1 to 8 is the introduction. General observations are made by the Lord Jesus Christ about the great tribulation that's coming on this ungodly world, and the nation of Israel will go through it. I can't stay to develop that further, but you have to accept tonight he's talking about the great tribulation that will happen after the coming again of the Lord Jesus to the air. And very soon thereafter, we don't know how soon, the great tribulation for 7 long years will take place in this old world. I'm going to suggest to you that the buts of this chapter give us the idea. You see, in verses 9 through 13, it's the buts of initial signs of the great tribulation. Now, we can't develop any of these as time is very limited. Please notice the intensity of the events that will take place. Verses 14 through 23, it's the but of intermediary signs relative to those days. The abomination of desolation set up, referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 9 and so on. And so what he's really saying is, there is the start of the tribulation. That's the first section, initial signs. Then there's the middle of the week, as we call it. The middle of the tribulation. They're intensifying. And then, from verses 24 through 31, it is the what of international signs. I take them to be global. The sun, the moon, the stars, and all the different things that's referred to. Notice that everything linked with the coming again of the Lord Jesus to earth has to do with signs. And some of our brethren have been telling us already in this conference that we as the saints of this great dispensation, we don't look for signs. And we're not interpreting the Bible by what we see. But I want to tell you that we don't look for signs, but we look at signs. Obviously, there's something wrong in our old world tonight, and conditions cannot continue. And very, very soon, there's going to be a mighty change, and that is the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to introduce the subject, and I want to spend a little minute or two on the closing section of this chapter. You see, the setting of the chapter, first of all, can be looked at historically. The Lord Jesus Christ sat on a literal mountain with four literal men talking about literal events that will take place. That's lying right on the surface. I want to point out to you that the passage can be looked at dispensationally, prophetically, of the nation of Israel. If you have your Bible open, let me point out to you the four watches of the night. And I know that it's in the Roman idea. I want to notice that this great age of ours, if you don't know what I'm talking about, from Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came into the world in a way that He has never been before or won't be after this. And He'll be here until the rapture of the church, as we call it. He who hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And at the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit of God will go. How do we know? Well, He's indwelling the believers, and the believers will be raptured, and He will go back to heaven. And I know that after that, there are other operations that He'll deal with that we can't go tonight. Could I be very simple here this evening and tell you that this great age of grace that we're privileged to live in has rolled now almost around 2,000 years. And I want to show you from this passage that it can be divided into four simple sections in keeping with our fours. The evening watch answers to the apostolic age. When things were on fire for God, thousands were saved in the early part of the Acts and right through to chapter 28 of the book of the Acts. And God was with His people, and fantastic things took place. But then you see that watch went over. Then we have the midnight watch. And we'll just make a general observation. It answers to the dark ages. If you have read history, you'll find out that there were centuries across this whole world when Roman Catholicism reigned in many climes. And the dark ages represents the midnight watch. And yet God had His people in different corners and parts of the earth. I have read some of it recently. That's heartwarming to think that in the darkness that was across the globe, there were little companies, and they were burning brightly in the darkness of the night for the Lord Jesus Christ and being a testimony throughout those days. That brings us then to the cock crowing, the third watch of the night. I want to suggest to you tonight, at least in application, it answers to the awakening of the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus in the second part of the 19th century. And so we come to people like John Nelson Darby, William Kelly, Lord Congleton, Lady Parscourt, and the list goes on. It's a fantastic time when those dear people left the state churches of the UK and other places and gathered alone to the person of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, are there facts? Absolutely. I remember 46 years ago going down to a place called Dublin, Southern Ireland. We were invited to go to Lady Parr's Court Estate, and at that particular time the building was intact. Beautiful place. And I can remember the guide yet taking us through that beautiful location and brought us into a room where they had the original chairs where those dear people that I'm talking about gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus with great cost. And I happened to ask, did John Nelson Darby meet in this room? The guide said, absolutely. And there's the very chair that he sat on. And there's the other chair over here that Lady Parr's Court sat on. And if you younger people don't know the story, these dear people fell in love with each other. Lady Parr's Court was a widow, young widow. And they appreciated each other. And the story shows, without getting into all the details, that they found out as God was working it in their generation, and the work of God was spreading across the world, and they wrote to each other in different locations, and their letters crossed in the mail, that they would forego marriage, that they might serve the Lord acceptably. Now you see, everybody don't have to do that. But it shows the exercise of those dear people, and how God used them in those early days. I must say tonight, it was absolutely thrilling. My young wife and myself, when we're down there on our honeymoon, when we heard of these things and read the literature, heart thrilling. What those dear people went through is fantastic, a tremendous cost, and it's all on record for you to read. Then I want to show you that the fourth watch of the night is the morning watch. It answers to the time immediately before the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can almost hear His footfall on the threshold of the door, and our heart is longing to be with Him evermore. Did you think about the Lord's coming today, fellow believer? Sometimes we're so involved in our studies and in our work and our families that we recognize that we're here for a long time. He's coming very, very soon. Now that introduces me to that what I want to talk about. And so at the end of the chapter, there's a way that we can look at this practically. And I'll just be as simple as is possible to be, so that you understand what I'm talking about. If you have your Bible open, please notice, let me point it out to you again. The Lord Jesus is talking. Verse 33, watch. Verse 34, watch. Watch. Verse 35, watch. Verse 37, watch. Now I want to just pick up on this word watch tonight. And I'll be as simple and as short as possible. In view of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ to earth, Zechariah 14, for example, tells us His feet will hit Mount Olivet, and Olivet will split in two, and there'll be a great geographical change around Jerusalem. And if the passage is understood correctly, Jerusalem will become a seaport, the metropolis of the world, and big things will take place. But before that, He's coming to the air. Soon, He'll be here. He's nearer tonight than ever before, and it's good to finish a conference on the great note of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. How fitting was 112 in the Believer's Hymn Book. Jesus is coming again. Sing the glad word. I want to ask you tonight, is everything in order in your life, or in mine for that matter, if he comes tonight? My dad used to teach me as a young fellow years ago. He says, son, listen, make sure your bedroom's right and everything is in order. If the Lord comes and we're away, what the neighbors will think of how we lived. People laugh at that today. I'll just digress for a minute. There's a young lady in our meeting. She wasn't in the meeting, but she was coming to the meeting. Nice, sweet young woman she was, 16 years of age. And she professed to be saved, and she wanted to be baptized. And her parents were against her 100%. And they said to her this day, they said, do you love your mother? She says, I do. He says, I want to ask you something. Did you make your bed this morning before you went to school? She says, what has that to do with it? Well, I said, your mother went in to see what kind of a room you occupy. She just looked at me. I said, there's a number in your house, aren't there, of your siblings? Yeah. I said, do you ever help your mother to make supper? Sorry, we're in Australia here. Tea. She says, what has that to do with it? I said, if you want to get your mother and father to go along with you being baptized in the assembly and come into the fellowship, they have to see a change in your living. That's how they'll see it. And so, it's very, very possible that we all need a little stirring in that way. Every one of us. I want to just tell you tonight, in a simple way, the letters of the word watch. What I say unto you, I say unto you all. These are the words of Christ. Watch. W would tell me, watch your words. Matthew chapter 12 says that man will give an account of every idle word that he says. Remember what we told you earlier? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. There's a Savior up above watching over you in love. Oh, be careful, very careful what you say. James chapter 3 outlines it. Look at it sometime. I want to just give the contrast to the Lord Jesus. Do you know what it says about him? Never a man spake like this. No wonder in the place where he was brought up and known from he was a child, Nazareth. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. Oh, dear saints of God, when we think of the words that fell from his lips, oracles, and the miracles that he performed, we humbly bow before the God of heaven and thank him from our very hearts in view of the coming of the words that he spake to have at us. Remember what I told you about Moses, for example, the very meekest man in all the earth. What a statement. He spake unadvisedly with his lips in view of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. The Lord help us to watch our words. You see, A would tell us of our actions. And what Hannah said, 1 Samuel chapter 2, by him actions are weighed. Take a contrast with the Lord Jesus. What Peter said about him, and he was in close. He went about doing good. Could they say that about us? He went about doing good. Every action that he performed, We bow humbly before the God of heaven and thank God for a perfect man, and recognize our own actions in view of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about our actions? Are they above board? Have we any secret things in the background? Oh, our actions tonight speak louder than words. See, it says about Moses, for example, he was mighty in words and deeds. But it says about the Lord Jesus, it was deeds and words. Fantastic. I want to think about tea tonight. Thoughts. The book says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23. What a contrast to the Lord Jesus. I read Luke 12 today. You know what he said? This is his thoughts. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? You know what the hymn writer said about that? Forever on his burdened heart a weight of sorrow hung, yet no ungentle murmuring word escaped his silent tongue. Constantly before him his thought life was Calvary. How about us? The most spiritual among us, we have an evil principle within, a gravitation toward evil, called the flesh in many parts of the New Testament. It will never be eradicated. It will be with us all the way until we arrive at our desired haven. And as our brother's been pointing out there the other night, we need to know how to keep it under, subdue it. What about our thought life? We're living in a sordid world tonight. And as we often point out to young believers and all of us, we can't help those birds going over our head, but we can help them making nests on our head. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, and so on. Philippians 4. Think on these things. And so our thought life is very, very important. And what we read, and what we see, and what we hear brings it right to our attention. The Lord help us tonight in view of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, C would tell me, C's for company. What's your company? You know what 1 Corinthians 15 says? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is known by their company. Who do you company with? Our part of the world, we try to point out to these dear people, if the ungodly are your constant, in close companions, there's something wrong. Remember what the book of the Acts says? When they were released from prison, they went to their own company. And in the big picture tonight, in view of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, we need to be selective in our company. Who do you company with? Sometimes people say, if it was your business, I would tell you. And we often say to them, would you like the blessing of the Lord in your life? You need to be very far away to say no. And to say, well, we would like the blessing of the Lord. I have told young believers and others many times, you better watch your company. Now, I haven't time to illustrate that, but I know all kinds of people tonight. That one time we're in assembly fellowship, yeah, and some that preached on our platforms, and they didn't watch their company, and tonight they're far away from God. Only God knows if they're saved or not. Oh, it's very important to watch our company. Here's another one. Each would tell me, watch your habits. I thought of a verse in Revelation chapter 22. Let me quote you part of it. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That's the positive side. The negative side, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Oh, what's your habits tonight? What are mine? Right away we think of the Lord Jesus. His habit was to go to the hill, the mountain of Gethsemane, and all of it, to pray to his God. That's why Judas knew where to go. See, he had fantastic habits. Thank God. By the way, who was the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what he said about company? One day people said to him, there's folk here to see you, your mother and your brethren. Luke 8, the Lord said to those dear people that day, who is my mother and who is my brethren? Those who hear my word and keep it. Very important. What about your habits? What about mine? Could I say to my young friends here tonight, and I'm your friend, do you see surfing the net? Now I surf the net every day, but I want to tell you something. You better watch your habits. There's good things on it, but there's all kinds of negative things. And so it has been well said, and I want to say it tonight again, in view of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, will you watch your habits? Sow a thought, reap a word. Sow a word, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Basic, simple truth presented tonight. The Lord help us. Time I was finished. Could I get this point to you before we leave? In a few hours' time, if the Lord doesn't come, oh dear saints of God, the Lord is coming. How bright that blessed hope. Jesus will come. Let us our heads lift up. Jesus will come. Your soul tonight, as I step down and my brother steps up, if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord comes before my brother finishes, every born again person will rise through that roof there, and you'll not even know, because the glorified body is not in any way limited to material things. And if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, whatever age group you're in, you'll be left. And if you're left, and you've come to the years of accountability, you will never be saved. God help you, friend, tonight to trust the Savior. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Thank you very much.